Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about when plans change. Gee, Pastor, where do you come up with your ideas? So last week, as we were down in Florida, and the storm was coming, and I started looking, and I'm like, you know, this is just not going to work. We are not going to be able to go back the way we came. Look, storm hasn't even hit the coast yet. What are you worried about? You don't even know what it's going to do. I'm like, I'm telling you, got to go in and cancel our first hotel. Cancel. We were only going to spend one night on the road coming back from Florida. It's what we had planned. It was going to be two very long days, but we were going to do it. We were going to drive all the way to Dumfries, Virginia, which is just a little south of Washington, D.C. That was going to be the trek. And I'm like, we are not going to be able to get anywhere near I-95. Because even if the storm hadn't come, you had all the people that had been evacuated, the National Guard that had been activated, and they were all going to be trying to get home. And we were going to be, I'm like, no, it's just not going to work. So we canceled that hotel, and that was good. And then we found another hotel, and I'm on Expedia. I'm sitting there trying to do my searching and getting it done. And it's like, you cannot reserve a room right now. Okay. So I wait a little while, and I tried again. You cannot reserve a room right now. Huh, okay. Finally, I ended up getting the phone number for the hotel and called the hotel and made the reservation directly with the hotel because the travel sites were all not allowing you to do it because they were all completely overwhelmed. I'm like, okay, well, that's nice. So after I got the first room, I'm like, okay, I will wait for the rest of it. I'm not going to work on the second night until early the next morning when it wasn't quite so busy. Sometimes plans change. You see different aspects of this in Scripture. And an important thing to remember, it's going to be the last scripture we talk about, but God sees the end from the beginning. And just because our plans change doesn't mean it's a surprise to God. So then the question comes up with how do we deal with changed plans? Do we get so set and so embroiled in what we've got in mind that we are less than gracious? We are less than being a witness when things change. Many years ago, before I get into Scripture, many, many years ago, my mom was still alive. She died in 87. I had gone down to Hollywood, Florida, where my dad still was. My mom was in North Florida. Mom was in North Florida to be closer to the hospital there at University of Florida Medical Center, Florida State University, not University of Florida. Florida State University Medical Center, where she was being treated. My mom had a lot of different health issues. And my dad could not make enough money in North Florida to support one household, but could make enough money in South Florida to support two. So, at any rate, that's why my parents were geographically separated. And I had been visiting my dad, and I was driving back to see my mom. And I was not serving the Lord at this time. The road, I don't remember what all was going on, but it was horrific. I don't know if it was road work or whatever, but I kept getting detoured. And I kept getting detoured. Now, Florida is 550 miles long. This should have been an 11-hour trip. And by the time I had been on the road for 13 hours, I wasn't halfway. And my mom said, I'll call your Uncle John. You go spend the night with them and come on. You spend the night with Uncle John and Aunt Jean. Come on the next day. Okay. So that was Ocala. That's just a little north of Orlando. So I get there and I spend the evening with Uncle John and Aunt Jean. And we visit, we played cards, we just had a good time. And go to bed. About 1:30 in the morning, Aunt Jean comes in. There's something wrong with your Uncle John. I need you to get up. My Uncle John had had a stroke. And through God's gracious, tender mercies, I was there to help. Uncle John lived a good many years beyond that. I can't imagine my poor Aunt Jean if she had not had the help to dealing with that. We don't know why our plans change. We don't know why things happen that detour us. But we do know that God is sovereign and still in control. Matthew 2, beginning with verse 7. So Matthew 2, Jesus has been born, and the wise men have come to the east and have come to the king and says, "Where is he who's born king of the Jews?" Herod says, "What in the world are you talking about?" That real New English translation going on there. Talks to the wise men. It's like, "Oh, he's going to be in Bethlehem." So the king tells the wise men to go to Bethlehem because that's where they will find him. In fact, I was giving a little bit, I got a little bit too far into the what's going on. If you'll read, begin with verse 7, it says, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined to them the time the star appeared, and sent them to Bethlehem, and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, a star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country in another way." You're familiar with this story. The wise men, God gives them a dream and changed the plans they had to send them back. You read the passage, you also find out that Joseph had a dream saying the king was going to come kill them, to kill the child, and he escaped to Egypt. Later on, Joseph and Mary and Jesus were in Egypt, was when Herod came in and killed all the children, killed all the little male children. And then later, when God says, "Okay, Herod's dead, come on back," as he's coming back, Joseph finds out that Herod's son is now king. So he goes, instead of going to Bethlehem, he goes back up to Nazareth, back up to Galilee. Being that warned, having our plans changed. Happens, you know, as we've talked about it, happening in the Bible. We've talked about, or we haven't talked about it, we're about to talk about, how God told the children of Israel when he sent Moses to them to be their deliverer, "Go and I will take you to a place flowing with milk and honey." And they got all the way to the border. And they sent in the spies. And 10 of the spies came back and says, we ain't going in there." So God turned them around and detoured them because the generation that was adults refused to be obedient and do what God had said. God turned them around. And none of that generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, ever got to set foot in a promised land. So sometimes God directs our steps because he's getting our attention. Sometimes God is directing our steps and warning us, changing our plans because there's an issue that we don't see coming that God does. But the question all along is, as our plans are changed, as our plans are modified, do we have a heart to seek the face of God, a heart to give praise to God, knowing he's doing great things? We were talking earlier this morning about having to do those Sioux prayers. So for those of you listening online, you don't know what Sioux prayers are. Several years ago, Debbie and I were going on vacation, and Sue sent me a message and said, remember, as you're driving down the road and there's that person in front of you going very slow, that instead of getting irritated or upset with them, recognize this is probably the only time that that person will cross your path. So this is a divine appointment for you to pray for them. So those are Sioux prayers. As you're driving down the road and you get that person that's going considerably slower than you think they ought to, is our heart and mind set to show the love of God, to pray for them, to ask the Lord to bless them, to ask the Lord to touch whatever areas of their life need to be changed? Or do we get selfish in our attitude, selfish in our mode, just because our plans have changed? As you go through the Bible, you'll find a couple of different times where the plans have changed. I was looking for it and I couldn't find it, but Paul was on a missionary journey and was determined to go to a certain place, and the Holy Spirit would not let them, could not go. I don't remember how it was worded, so I was having a hard time looking it up in the concordance. Looking it up to find the passage, but there's a passage there where it says, God said, you know, the Holy Spirit forbade them to go into that area. I'm like, well, Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to go do great things for you. How many times do we feel that way? Lord, I want to do this. And I'm like, God said, no, I have something else for you to do. I have something else that's going to make a bigger impact and make a bigger difference. Then there's the other passage where Paul, in a dream, sees a picture of a man from Macedonia and tells us to come to him. Again, his plans changed. In one case, he had a goal where he wanted to go and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. Another place, he had a destination and God rerouted him. When plans change, God is still sovereign. God still knows exactly what's going on. God still knows exactly what's needed. And you're like, well, yeah, well, I'm not a Paul. I'm not Barnabas. I'm not Timothy. I'm not one of those people from the Bible. You are the person God has put in this exact position just at this time. If God had wanted Paul to be here today, Paul would still be alive and here today, because God is still God. But God had another plan for Paul's life. God has us here for this time. Speaking of Paul, Acts 27, beginning with verse 7. Now, by this point, Paul has been arrested. Paul is in chains. Paul is going to appeal before Caesar. So there in verse 7, it says, when we had sailed slowly many days, wonder if they were doing Sioux prayers as they're sailing slowly, and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salome. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. Now, when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. So what we're hearing Paul say is this trip was taken a whole lot longer than it should have. This trip seems to never Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts. So Luke, what Luke is telling us is, you know, we had sailed slowly for many days, arrived with difficulty, the wind not permitting us. We sailed under the shelter and passed it with much difficulty. And now much time is spent. So we're hearing a delay. There's a change. The plans that they had of just hopping in the boat and sailing off to Rome have changed. Or don't seem to be going the way you'd expect it to. Don't seem to be going the way they had planned. So the fast was all over. Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Now, Paul already knew that he was going to go appear before Caesar. God had already told him, you are going to appear before Caesar. This is going to happen. So Paul's not worried about himself. He says, look, but this is getting to be a problem. You read on to the on through that chapter, and it talks a lot about the storm and how the storm came up, and they were sailing, not eating for many days, just because the ship was so rough, the cooks couldn't even put out food. And finally, dropping down to verse 21, says, but after long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of him and said, I told you so. Okay, the Bible doesn't say, I told you so, but that's what Paul said. Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. I tried to tell you, I tried to explain it to you, but you wouldn't listen. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. The ship is still floating. The ship is still out there and still in the midst of the storm. It's like, the good news is none of us are going to die. Bad news is you're going to need another ship. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, and saying, do not be afraid, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he has told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, you're familiar with the passage. You know what's going on here. And getting into chapter 28, we find out that it's the island of Melita. Some people would call it Malta. They're shipwrecked. There's people on the island. And Paul is, the people who kind of take him in. Paul goes out to gather wood, and as he's throwing wood in the fire, the snake comes out and bites him. So the people say, oh, this man must be a murderer, because even though he escaped the storm, God has still seen fit to take his life. And Paul shakes off the snake into the fire, and he's not hurt. So then they say, no, he's a god. He's like, no, I'm not a god, but here I am to tell you about God. And he begins to preach and begins to share with the people on that island using the gifts that God had given him. Even though the plans had changed, even though what they thought they were setting out to do got redirected, it became an opportunity to minister, an opportunity to be a witness. You know, the headman of the team, of the people that were there on the islands, was sick. And Paul went in and prayed for him. And many lives got touched. Many people got converted, turned to worshiping God for what they saw go on. But if we reel back just a little bit, as the storm is taking longer than it seemed like, and finally they get to Crete, and Paul says, we ought to stay here because it's getting worse, it's getting worse. And they decide to keep going anyway, and they come to the storm. Even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the redirection, even in the midst of plans changing, the God who sees the end from the beginning had a purpose that included that storm, included that shipwreck, included the many days without food. All these things Paul went through because it touched and changed people's lives. We don't understand what's coming. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. We don't know what will happen later this afternoon. But we know a God who does. And we serve a God who does, who is able to touch and change lives and change circumstances. So when our plans change, when things happen, while we may not know what God is doing in the midst of it, we know that God's not surprised by any of it. James 4, beginning with verse 13. Jerry's real familiar with this. He gives me this scripture from time to time. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin." Whenever we find ourselves in a situation where our plans have changed, we find ourselves someplace we did not intend to be. We find ourselves somewhat overwhelmed by the things that are going on around us. Keep in mind that the God who loves us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who brought us here for just such a time as this, has a plan, even in that position, even in that place, even in that time, to show His grace and love through us. That we have that opportunity to do good. We have that opportunity to make an impact. We have that opportunity to share the love and grace and mercy of God. We have that opportunity to pray for that person driving slowly in front of us. We have that opportunity to have a smile when everybody around us is all angry and upset. When people are stuck in traffic and blaring on their horns, we have that opportunity to be a blessing in the midst of it, to be calm, to have a peace in the midst of it all, to demonstrate the grace and love of God. Final passage of Scripture, something I alluded to earlier. Psalm 37, beginning with verse 23. Says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed." Steps of a good man, good woman, a good person are ordered by the Lord. Our goodness comes from the grace and love and mercy of God. The Lord delights in his way. The Lord delights in the way he leads us. He has a blessing and a plan and a purpose in the way he leads us. And even when we stumble, even when we fall, even when we forget to pray for that slow-moving person, we'll not be utterly cast down. The Lord will continue to uphold us, continue to bring it to our memory. He goes on saying, "I have been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed." He says, as we show the grace and love and mercy of God to the people we encounter, God is glorified in it, God is glorified by it, and God pours out his blessings because of it. So the next time your plans change, and the next time you have to change your route, the next time something comes up that just seems to be a huge inconvenience, recognize that it didn't surprise God. God is still ordering our steps even in the midst of the things that go on around us. God is still ordering our steps even when the pressures come in on every side. Even when we find ourselves tempted to get just a smidgen frustrated. God is still God. God is still at work. And He has not forgotten us. He has not abandoned us. He has not forsaken us. And He's not surprised, even if we do stumble and fall in the midst of it. He knows these things. He knows our frame. He knows who we are. And yet He's working in us to show His grace and His love and His mercy to the people we encounter. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for Your blessing. We thank You, Lord, for Your guidance. We thank You, Father, that You have not deserted us, that You have not abandoned us, that You have not walked away and left us. But, Lord, that You continue to show Your love to us. So, Father, we give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.